1. Had they been heading for the barn all along? Estrella didn't know. The barn had burst through a clearing of trees, and the cratered roof reminded her of the full moon. They were 7 altogether, their belongings weighed down an old Chevy Capri station wagon, the clouds above them ready to burst like cotton plants. Then the barn disappeared into a hillside of brittle bush and opuntia cactus as the man who was not her father maneuvered the wagon through a laborious curve. Sunlight weaved in and out of the clouds. Wisps of wind ruffled the orange and avocado and peach trees, which rolled and tumbled as far back as the etched horizon of the mountain range. A cluster of amputated trees marked the entrance of the side road. The mother said, "Aquí," and the man whom they called Perfecto slowed down and turned. The mother refolded the Phillips 66 map and shouted that she hoped the winds would push the clouds away and it wouldn't rain. She had to repeat it over the booming muffler to Perfecto, and he tested the windshield wipers. One wiper scraped away a splattered insect. He scratched his head and said he was tired of sleeping sitting up in the car. And then they were quiet. The silence and the barn and the clouds meant many things. It was always a question of work, and work depended on the harvest, the car running, their health, the conditions of the road, how long the money held out, and the weather, which meant they could depend on nothing. Estrella watched Perfecto's hand scratching the back of his head with uncertainty. His skin was like the bark of a juniper tree. The beige station wagon bumped along the unpaved road, bucking the bundles and the rolled tarpaulin and pipes tied with a web of ropes to the luggage rack. "Shh," hissed Alejo to his cousin. "Someone's coming." "Shit, I hate this." "Quiet." Alejo saw the wagon from the tall peach tree in the orchard. He had been picking peaches ripe from the direct sun and handed his selections between the rustle of branches to his cousin, Gumesindo, who clutched a flour sack and doubled as a lookout. They labored before sunset, right after work, when others would not see them. The cousins had argued with one another, first, about whose turn it was to climb up the trees, second, about a man named Plato. Gumesindo thought Plato was plate in gringo Spanish, and when Alejo told him otherwise, they laughed so hard they had to remind themselves of why they were in the peach orchard. Alejo, slender and the more agile of the two, tested the slouching branches for strength, then pulled himself up until the younger branches creaked. Peach fuzz tickled his face. He picked the brightest peaches until he heard a car engine puckering like marbles against the hood, and he hunched into the bushy canopy of the tree. Through the colander of leaves, Alejo watched the car door open, its engine idling, while wasps droned near the resinous fruit. Their hind legs dangled like golden threads. A wiry man emerged from the station wagon, his creased and baggy trousers hiked above his waist. There was a slick wax shine to the cap of baldness on the thin man's head. Someone from inside the car handed him a hat. He palmed his sparse silver hair, then jammed the hat on his head, and then he reached for a rope tied above the car and pulled so that the bundle looked like a belly over a tightened belt. His glasses caught reflections of the afternoon sun as he knotted the rope and he turned towards the peach orchard, right in the direction of Alejo, and the man's glasses glimmered like sparks. Alejo quickly crouched further into the foliage and a branch snapped above his head. He pushed down a few leafy twigs and followed the wagon's tire tread until the dust settled. Perfecto headed for the clearing and steered away from the potholes, but still the car dipped and bumped and the